this, or you say, boy, this is a dumb idea, get this off of here. Whatever it may be, just choose one. And then we'll just go around and ask you to put one for the floor, and we'll talk about it. And we're not going to be able to hit everything. We just don't have time, I think, during the meeting today. So take a couple minutes, have a look, and then just recycling and bioconversion. And we used a similar approach to get as far as we can with some of the intersections. Now, of course, I'd add if there's something else that's on your mind you really want to talk about, we can certainly talk about that. Don't feel constrained to a list.
Dump them in single bins. It's so easy for the homeowner, it's easy for the hauler,
You just have to have sophisticated technology to sort all that stuff out. You know, curbside programs started, of course, with multi-bin systems and multi-bin trucks. Very expensive to collect, right? You can make the households do the work. You don't need them or you need a bailing system at all. Stuff like that. You know, getting people, I'm not seeing this, but I'm, you know, I think in the back of my mind, having minimized the need for the complexity of the process. But then you end up with added collection costs. And then you have urban versus rural, which we were talking about.
And if you have multiple bins, it seems like a lot of people don't have room just to store all those bins, and that's the barrier for getting participation in our profit program, because they just have to store everything in their own house.
They just don't have the space or don't want all these bins lying around. Yeah. So any reactions from the group to curbside recycling? Pros, cons? Something we should really flesh out and understand?
I think personally for me, we just started recycling at home ourselves. Thinking it to recycle, but it was a learning process for us at home. This meant what we could recycle, what we could recycle. That's, and to be an education thing for the public, I don't think that would be common. We can recycle this plastic versus this plastic.
And it's always changing. It's really difficult.
It's not labeled, but we can maybe recycle it, so they just say this came from recycled plastic. But as far as, hey, can I recycle this? This can go here. This might say, no, this cannot go here.
And the problem we have is that every community is going to be a little bit different in what they will and won't accept, depending on where the markets are, or the first light. It's very challenging.
Exactly. I go to the quiet system a lot here. So they're not going to be a
that's what we're planning to do for our website improvement, is to have YouTube videos on there to tell people what they want to do. That's the next step for us.
Yeah, that's great.
My question is, so America is necessary to make it safer? Is that something that we can talk about? Is it something that, I mean, is that like to put on the plan and like looking for
it? That's what we're asking right now.
I mean, I'd say yes. The whole interesting thing is that the public wants, there is like public support.
A lot of public.
There could also be an option that you ask us to come back with some information on if this is feasible or cost effective. Big things, maybe if there's something that is kind of stopping you from saying yes, definitely, or no, definitely. That would be a goal.
Well, is this the context of Allison and engineer John in the room, that's a business facility study?
We have all the costs, we have everything.
Okay,
so we're ready to go. And then it does not stop. So we have the information.
And then it's like a political little thing,
you know,
like advocacy process.
And citing is an issue, though. So I don't know if that's the group that we have it there for the
I just keep going back to like looking, maybe this is the wrong way to look at it, maybe it's just an additional cost. We just have to accept that for our time to get rid of and our own ways. Maybe that we don't have the whole reason, but but let's keep looking for a way for us to look at a compromise on how we structure it. For example, some of this list that you left out there that relates to this, which is like for alternative collection, start elsewhere, for cut back on the the idea of you, you don't have to add collections. You just have people put their waste outlets on them. Obviously, there's huge challenges to that that can't be understated. You know, you're talking about rocking and food waste, so for one, it's a huge deal. And I'm sure there's other things to challenge. John has a massive expertise in this. I guess what I'm saying is I don't think we can do it the same way here. I think we have to, you know, the other conversation Alice and I've had a lot is the whole, why do we take a lot? It's like, yeah, we need to spend money on recycling. Like, not because of public perception, not for any other reason. It doesn't do us any good. It doesn't change. I mean, it's just minimal benefit of landfill on the states. But there's no environmental benefit. Like the glass, it actually takes much more energy to get the market and all that stuff. And it's basically denying the environment. Right. And so, how do we start making some decisions that reflect a little bit more of a logical approach and then some compromise in terms of what's our focus? I know that generally that's not the future right now. I'm just trying to get really good at it.
This is a big enough topic, I think, if we merit something from the conversation. To me, it's also, we'll just go to McConnell's, very linked to how you pay for this. Is it a throw program? Is it business as usual? Is there a fee for the recycling? Is it mandatory? There are all those kinds of issues.
The plan was for it to be incorporated in case you throw, as it should be, where the cost is associated with it, but a little more than the other stuff.
Yes. And the prior page throw from different size bins.
Yeah, so the current CSU doesn't have a recycling component, it just has two bins. And so the next phase was going to be to add the diversion services, green waste and curbside recycling, and then to increase the cost of those bins. And perhaps add a third bin, smaller bin, because people that are doing a good job diverting pretty easily to smaller bins. So that was the plan for pay-as-you-throw, is to move into diversion.
And has anything changed? Is there any information that you have or preferences to say that's not a good idea to move into a more, I'd say it's a more traditional way of bringing in these programs is probably pay-as-you-throw now?
So we're the only island that has pay-as-you-throw. When we passed the law, it was very challenging, especially at the council, because they didn't want to lose. They didn't want to, what we proposed was a lot higher than what we got. And I think there's a reluctance on the part of decision makers to tax or give the fee to public, because people feel like they're already paying taxes, and that should cover public works activities. But then there's also this other side where they're considering probably enterprise fund. But we're not. We're only 40% enterprise, and the rest is funded by public works and by the general fund. And so we just aren't getting a lot of direction about what we're supposed to be doing. Like, for enterprise funds, then yeah, let's charge these fees. But then when you go to council, they're like, don't charge fees. So it's just very confusing about what we're supposed to do.
So, this is definitely an opportunity to state that. What are the numbers look like and where the money's coming from? Because it's certainly, why wouldn't you want to be more transparent with what's paying for it? People might, if you double the cost of that pickup, people might say, hey, I'm going to do a better job.
Right.
Especially if I have an option for the market. And for
okay, well, it sounds like then, as a starting point, we should put refresh and update what was in there before. It's a very logical strategy. And then when the question becomes, you could look at the numbers, how much should be all? If it were 100% enterprise fund, here's what the cost would look like. If it was still 40%, here's what the cost would look like to do that. So we can certainly start there and put that forward.
Raise the tip fee, raise the residential collection.
Okay.
I agree. We could do it as much as initially.
Okay. Let's
for the refuse, recycling has no cost to the general public. Unless it's an altruistic reason that some people will recycle.
So
if it's a path of least resistance, it's easier for me to just throw it in one side because it's all day. Worry about it.
Well, no, so that's what the pay-as-you-throw structure does. The cost is associated with the garbage. So if you get a bigger can, you're going to pay more. If you have a smaller can,
but that's based on the volume of the garbage, not what happens to the stuff. So it's not enough.
Right. It's called over safety.
Yeah, it's 80%. So what they recommend when you're doing this kind of thing is an 80% differential between the parts would make a difference on what you would choose.
72 dollars a year. Does not think about the railway at all. But yeah. All the room in the world.
Well, no, that's not what we want.
No, I'm not recycling you. It's really just like saving it lightly.
Right.
The 72 bucks, I did not think about anything. Right. I threw away pretty much everything I want. I'm 96 gallons.
So that's why we want to raise those significantly and have them scale. 80% difference each, so people are making choices.
Plus one, just a comment that I would make, that without a cost incentive or a cost penalty, public behavior is not just unless there's something in that person that tells them they want to do something, most of the folks are going to be on their own food recycling or food waste separation or other separation. Without that kind of change in public behavior, we're just going to keep stabbing problems that we talk about, whether it's the recycled materials, it's on the market, it's the size of our landfill, it's the cost of it.
I mean, it's a great line, but too, understanding the process of Alice and all these different things. I'd go through and see a bid and go have the prices be so diminished. Did not put any burden on the taxpayer for a resident.
Right.
It comes out generally. That makes it so trying to do something like create a compost pickup service. There's no way to get savings the current system to get savings of throwing away less stuff.
Right.
And so, and then so it's like the change of growth. Structure that we got to spend a bunch of money on from murder and the collection process. And it just seemed as funny as this first time, so I did a lot of support for the large cripples and challenging processes.
You could still change the fee structure for pay as you throw and just not offer curbside. It just totally increase the fees to incentivize people to divert. However, they can, that's basically what it is now, but it's a feature much higher than the natural. So you don't have to do that to get that.
Another option is, I've been pulling this over a lot. It would be really expensive and really difficult for a county or state, to build a MRF. It's really going to cost a lot of money, and everybody knows that. Could you double the number of drop-off?
The drop-off location program is expensive too. So right now it costs.
But not as expensive as curbside.
Well, we're putting money into it, and it's a lot of work for our recyclers. So they haul 160 times a month for eight locations, and they have to clean the sites, and they are processing everything, and it costs us $865,000 a year. So we. Even without any money coming out of the MRF, it was once estimated that the processing cost for the MRF would be $1 million a year. And then the collection system would be about $1 million. So we pay $2 million to have curbside recycling. Right now we're paying $865,000 for an inconvenient program at eight locations. So it's like maybe if we doubled that, then we'd pay double that, and we wouldn't even have the curbside. What?
I don't know. The current collection system costs $4 million.
Yeah, to add a roof would be 1 million. To add another roof. Right, John, would be 1 million?
Well, to half a
roof. Oh, because, oh, we half a roof.
Recycled, you collect the other.
Oh, for sure. Recycling was only tagged at 1 million, the other two was another 1 million, so 2 million. Okay, yeah. Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, so we would save money if we double the collection, but yeah. It's hard to get this site into.
No, it's understood. But so we can look at those those options. I'm hearing a few options here. A good starting point is go back to what you proposed before. Check that out, see what that looks like. Another would be just 2 pages throw and assume your number of no new bins, but the number of pickups would have to increase because you're diverting more material there. And another would be to add more locations. More of a drop off. You don't need to eat the herb. How do those compare?
Yeah, if you're not thinking of the numbers, from what I've seen before, even if we added the drop off locations.
So with the page throw.
With the
increased cost.
If you go to the bins, they're like pretty jam packed all the time, right? You know, once you go out there, there's people there, like, happening.
I can verify my touristy in the last 3 days. I've seen a lot of them, yep.
Yeah,
they're full.
So that's probably why you think we should have.
Well, it's just, I've had this conversation with rural communities a number of times. It's a really difficult one.
Yeah.
It's mainly that the people, you know, you get people who are willing to recycle really often, you hear that, like, that's good.
Yep.
And you start that process, but most everybody's still, or a lot of people are looking.
And they're going to be just complaining about their having to pay all the money. Yeah. Yes.
I was going to ask you, looked at it, kind of use it as fuel to generate power.
Yeah. And we just haven't gotten any proposals that are economically feasible because of our small. We've done it several times. We've gone upstairs.
So one of the big drivers is actually the fact that it makes 10 more cents to what our amount. We reduced the price of that at 20 cents and up and the margin. And now we recognize that it's not going to take 20 cents enough to figure it. We're doing not other viable updates that the construction product might hang around and talk about what we can do out of it, but then the conversion is probably something. So it's really pretty tricky to figure out a grid offtake. And a grid offtake, because of sale, it comes with media, it comes with a lot of cost. It's also something that we can hold the fastest down to all the sales together. It has an opposition to the top of our AC. It's understandable. So it's been a, and then the technology is very expensive. It's not, you know, that small scale technology. We can focus on that, but I'll be there. A lot of regulatory hurdles that are appropriate and necessary to we've never even gotten top tier proposers. We've always gotten kind of crazy proposers to come into the project for the reason that they're
got a wheel operator guy. We're all
there. They're like, you know, it's not going to happen, so they don't even bid. And then you end up with these kind of relationship people that are trying to look at deals so they can have to check on the deals, right? Not go there and stuff.
I'd like to.
I was going to bring this up later, but if we don't figure out solutions to, you know, where the final disposition of all this stuff is, I think waste energy is the only solution for landfill. And if you look at the legacy costs of, you know, the landfill, plug that into the model of a waste energy facility, you know, I would say $350 a ton, not what we charge now. Yeah, I think the legacy cost, if I look at a new landfill and closing old landfills, I think it's like $350 a ton. And I think we got to get real about the actual cost of the waste.
I agree with you 100%, but I think if you go to $350 a ton and reflect that back to the market, you can reduce your waste like crazy. Right now we're charging $120 a ton.
Consumer number through a cost.
I think the only way the consumer consumer's going to know is if the garbage truck has a scale on it, when they pick up your can and throw it in, and every month you get a bill. Oh, you dispose of, you know,
well, we'll get to disposal. I'd like to move us off. We have two hands in the back, but real quick ones. Ma'am, and then.
I've been talking to people, not on purpose. They talk to me about this, about recycling and about the landfills and about the transportation and all that. And one of the things that keeps coming up is they don't understand why there would be transportation and not recycling bins and high five stuff right there. They think as long as they're outgoing taking all their stuff, they want it to be in the same place. And apparently they are not. Apparently they've got something here and something there. But
it's based on determination.
Yeah, I just wanted to throw some stuff on the good cost thing. When you talk about recycling, it's basically, you know, it costs money to get rid of this material. We don't get money for it anymore. Or at least the cost. We don't get enough money to offset the operating costs. Yet, disposal options all cost money and cost a lot of money. When we talk about cost of facilities, MERS, $10 million. Oh, that's a lot of money. With the energy facility, $150 million. I mean, come on. You can't even compare it. When we talk about operating costs ultimately, I know that the new landfill will cost more than the old landfill to dispose of, but everything I've seen, everything Ben's seen about waste energy, the cost of shipping fees for waste energy facilities, would be, again, highly above the disposal cost. If you look at the best example we have close around here, they have a larger 24 economical because of the scale of the facility, waste energy facility, it still costs them 2 to 3 times what it costs them to landfill. The problem is with the Wahoos, who's got an island not as big as we are, and it's got 10 times as many people, so they don't have landfill space.
Less space, that's right.
But ultimately, it's, to me, if you want to start talking about what the costs are, you know, you can't put recycling into the category where it's got to make money or it's got to make money.
Well, so let me. So we got a lot of questions about cost. We're going to be looking at that. We're meeting just today to talk to our landfill expert. We're going to come up with what Alice likes to call the true cost of landfill, so we can get at that and say what is the avoided cost that we have by, regardless of where you get a penny for recyclables, we're not putting in the landfill, and how does that compare cost-wise? And how does that compare to waste energy facilities? So we will do those analyses. It's the time. Let's move on. Our next meeting will have some more information for you on that. Okay? All right. Next on recycling. Can I go around the room? Lane, do you want to offer anything up? Or? Okay.
I just want to look at stuff we can ban from the landfill.
Okay.
That's another interesting one that I want to try to focus on. There are C&D bans going in, and what are the kind of options there are out there. Because we do have places that they can go. That's one of the
others. So what's, do you have any suggestions off the top of your head?
We're always talking about putting C&D on natural stuff. We just have to look at how long it would take, what kind of systems we need, and what can actually be part of it. And right now, we can just go for the concrete and asphalt and just ban it from the landfill because nobody's really taking it there, really.
Yeah.
And it's a big time to try not just to do something that's easy to do.
Any other Any other suggestions about materials that can be readily banned from landfill, like a first step or an additional step where we're at here today?
Yeah, my general comment on this section is that some of the pathways I'd like to pursue is going to be that multi-prong legislation, plastics, and structures. So in the phased approach, like, you know, in 2023, 2025, at least 25 years, there will be a commercial ban on. I'd like to go after, personally, let's go after anything that is compostable in the landfill that we develop infrastructure pathways to start getting that stuff out of the landfill and process them for me. So it can be pallets, you know, ban on pallets, certain paper, that one's tricky, so, but there is a lot of compostable material in our paper stream.
You see cardboard there, and a lot of, you know, readily recyclable, producing one of your better markets. Okay. Yes?
I mean, I'd like to see a ban on paper, pallets, wood, CND, cardboard, and all that is nice, clean material that maybe doesn't fit into these traditional models of waste and energy, but that is nice, IPG value material that doesn't, definable, the pollution control, they're not outrageous. I don't think, you know, when you look at a MRF and all this stuff, pulling those specific things out and talking about waste energy, I don't think it's ever been done by the county. It's always just been a single stream type of thing. And then you got to deal with, you know, the plastics and dioxins and all this other stuff. But if you can take these out of the waste stream and segregate them, you can put together an economical
engineering. Explore that a little bit. I'm not aware off the top of my head of that being done. I'll say it couldn't be. But, you know, most waste energy facilities are either refuse derived fuel or mass burn, one or the other.
Didn't the last RFP though allow the bidders to say that they could pull from the So they could take only organic combustible or whatever and say, oh, we have a project. It wasn't like you have to take everything. And we still didn't get it. Right, Kevin?
We did not get it. So, I mean, I will say one last thing about that, and then we want to do it. We almost certainly have to have a landfill anyway. There's almost no way to not have that. There would be a greater stream than so you make sure the cars not have both, right? Like, now we have a capital source. I think that's the part of the problem. You just can't. You're always going to have stuff that can't go in there. And especially if you do that, you're going to have even more. So if all the closers that have been taken seriously, literally, we're the ones that have to take everything. Then, of course, it's expensive. You know, so your point is a good one. Maybe, you know, green energy can take something in terms of facilities. We've actually had that conversation with them as well.
They're not permitted in those states. At this point, they don't really need to get permitted.
Yeah, they don't have that far.
You said they are, they're not.
Last time I talked to them, that was on the agenda.
They're permitted for certain streams. Other stuff doesn't. They're very commodities.
We were in a cardboard crisis at one point. Please, just for a second, take this cardboard. And they were like, no, we're not permitted, and we're not going to get there.
Okay, let me, in the interest of time, let's move on to another suggestion. Dan, Howard, anything that strike your fancy in this list of recyclables you wanted to kick around?
Yeah. That's it. I'll start with my boiler and start down.
Thermal recycling. Okay. Cameron?
Nothing on here, but just off the top of my head.
Sure.
There's tons of plastic right there on the beach. You know, there's nothing on this list about recycling or having there be an incentive to recycle on the beach. And then you might find the beach.
the recycle that they find on the side of the road, on the whatever, don't die out like that.
I just have a point to that. So Surf Rider's been working really hard on this. Like, they have really big plans for their points, not only stuff off the beach that's not recyclable right now, but also the nets from the ocean. And they've been working really hard on a technology to make that stuff into bricks. And so they showcased that at KCC and built a structure with these bricks made from plastic. But they had to get them from New Zealand, yes.
Island School
over on the KCC campus. And so, you know, Surf Rider's working on that. And then there's also these cottage industries trying to make little, like, trinkets from various kinds of plastics and these little extruder machines. I don't know. But so there's a little bit of work being done, but there's a lot of plastic out there, and a lot of it is considered non-recyclable right now. I like your idea of trying to get it recycled. It's just going to be difficult.
So then the plastic that we're really talking about was like the marine. That can be joined up with the first rider to make these words. You know, and going forward,
yeah.
Surface, you're just down on it.
Oh, yeah, well, definitely. The burn would help with all of that.
The first thing is, and Surf Rider of Hawaii is doing a better job than any of the other islands, even though we have more miles of beaches and lots of popular lakes. Last year, the year before, they collected 80 tons of material on the beach. For collecting material on the beach, 80 tons.
That's staggering amount.
For recycling or disposal, it's not much at all. You throw away 250 tons a day. They collected 80 tons in a year. So trying to invest in a solution just to handle that material doesn't make much sense. What makes sense is if you've got a solution that will handle other similar material, to feed this into it. Coming up with a solution just for that material. So what the Surf Rider is talking to the balancing about is getting access to plastics that are in our waste stream to actually get enough throughput to justify the process. But to do that, it's going to work. But it's a process out the material to run into it. So there is a lot of benefits outside the waste benefit for cleaning up all these things on the highway. But it really doesn't justify investment in the local industry unless you can get
So the safe to say that if you did move to a MRF, being able to deal with curbside, that's another avenue to help address the problems with the beaches and roads and everything.
Because it could separate the stuff and it could keep it clean and dry. That's another problem we have is that the plastic, the reason we have to drop off the clamshells and the molded plastic one too, is because they weren't able to be kept indoors clean and dry, and they were exposed to elements getting moldy, degrading, and they just weren't recycled. So the MRF is a big covered facility that protects recycling.
Ideally, there'd be room to have a dynamic program.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You pull all the plastic out instead of shipping to China where it might not, or Asia where it might not be recycled.
So it's a very complimentary suggestion.
So the one I would want to put a fine point on is the first one conducted efficiency asset management study. If you don't know the checklist far enough, it might be a weak cost service on questions.
We are working on cost of service. We'll do a cost of service study. Now, it won't be in the detail that you would do to do an efficiency or asset management study of collections. So there's two different things.
So I think maybe what would be really helpful, though, is that you could just talk about the differential in cost of service in other jurisdictions to say, hey, what is the cost of service of a real household versus a urban household in other places? so that people understood the value of doing that here? Because right now it's just like another recommendation in a report, but you actually can say, hey, if you go to Denver and you look at rural versus urban, the cost of service difference is 120%. All of a sudden, we might say, wow, I want to look into that. I don't know if that's possible.
That's pretty difficult. I've done a few of these studies. I haven't seen one yet that defines a rural area, defines an urban area compared to, usually it's more, here's our system, we got to make it work better. But here's, you know, things you can do to test that.
But my concern ultimately is that there wouldn't be political will for that. There's
definitely not going to be a political will.
And Ben, more specific, we had sort of an offline conversation.
Yeah.
You mentioned this urban-rural issue. So is your thought process that you might have some collection services in an urban area and less service in a rural area, and the cost would vary as well?
Yeah.
I guess, is that something that's acceptable? Do you think that's going to apply here?
No. I don't think so.
There is that change because there are governmental municipal changes. These rural areas are counties, and the urban areas are cities or towns, and they have responsibilities. Here we have a county that's responsible for the whole thing. So we're going to tell somebody up this one road that, oh, you're defined as urban, and the guy on the next road, you're defined as rural, so we have to pick up this way. It's beyond political, but it is political.
If it was an enterprise fund, it wouldn't be beyond political. Right?
Okay.
You're right now, because we fund it through the general fund, that's a tax, you're correct. But if we actually charge everybody the cost of service and we do that, then really you're the same. You're just not offering the service and you're not paying for it. So that might be some good.
Fair.
Yeah.
And was it that there isn't a political will to do the study?
No.
There was a political will to do the study.
That's right. I mean, if you did the study and showed the numbers, maybe it's a